Hello, hello, and welcome to School Leader Soundbites. I'm your host, Veronica Soper, and today we are going to talk about content calendars. Because here on School Leader Soundbites, we talk about all things communication, strategic communication, intentional communication, and all the strategies to bring it together. So we are going to dive right in. But before we do, let's take care of some housekeeping. If you are listening on the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe. We don't want you to miss any episodes of School Leader Soundbites. And if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, drop me some comments because I'd love to get your feedback and answer any questions that you might have. So let's get to today's episode, content calendars. What are these all about? Why do you need them? And how can they make a difference for you as you are working through your communication strategy for your district? So today's episode is not just for our school communications professionals. Today's episode is for anyone who is working on a project, who is working on a campus, who is in charge of an initiative, and you're responsible for some of the critical communication elements. That's why content calendars are for everybody. So let's talk a little bit about what they are and how we can start implementing them. So first things first, let's talk a little bit about why you need a content calendar. So a content calendar really is the tool that breaks out your messages and helps you piece them all together so you can ensure that you are hitting all of your target audiences in the way they want to be targeted to and in a way that's effective, in a way that you can measure. So that's what a content calendar can do for you. So let's think about some data that's already out there in this space. So we know from the Center of American Progress that a majority of K-12 districts are struggling to maintain consistent communication. And there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, because there's a lack of resources. I don't have to tell you that. We know that many of us are doing a much more with less. And so we have to rely on the content that we do have available, getting to the right people in the way that we want them to get it. So it's important to know that we all acknowledge that definitely more can be done, but what can you do with the resources that you have available? And the other piece of interesting information that came out of this study from the Center for American Progress was that less than half of surveyed parents acknowledge receiving a school-initiated communication. So that doesn't quite tell us that they're not getting information from their campus. It just means that they're not opening it, or they don't remember they got it, or that it's not getting into their inbox. It might be getting into their spam. So there's a couple of reasons why that might be happening or why that data point might be there. But it's also important to note that when we distinguish between school-initiated and district-initiated, there really wasn't much of a distinction. So in their mind, if it's coming from the school or if it's coming from the campus, it's specifically regarding their student and they didn't have a recollection of it. So when less than half surveyed say that they weren't getting it, then we know that there's some opportunity for growth. So that's why I wanted to dive into content calendars and how they can help us. So just so you know, I've worked with districts all over the country, and in the districts that I've worked in, we all start with really good intentions. We spend our summer months planning. We map everything out on a calendar. We identify those really important holidays. We put together our inclement weather plans, and we've got blurbs already set aside, and we put together all of that evergreen content. Now, evergreen means that it can be used at all seasons. It's not timed specifically. So we want to make sure we've got a good bank of evergreen content, and putting it into your content calendar is going to be really, really important. Not only does it enhance your communication strategy overall, but it also fosters engagement when we put polls and quizzes out there and we ask people to respond and we want people to share it. We want people to comment. That type of engagement can go a really long way. And it also fosters trust, because if we're not building trust, we are eroding trust in our district. So we want to make sure that our messages are consistent, that they're clear, and that people know where to go and get them. So an example of that is training your community. You know, I've shared before in some of the districts that I've worked in that they don't particularly want to get on a platform. Maybe it's Facebook, or maybe it's X, or maybe they're not quite ready for Instagram. But I've got others who are utilizing all of these. Knowing which platform that parents want to get their information is really important. But before you do that, you've got to train them. So if you are starting out the school year with open houses and welcome packets to the district, make sure you're telling people where to go for information. Maybe it's directly to their email boxes. Maybe it's a combination of email boxes, and then crisis communication will be handled differently with text messages. So make sure you are telling people where to go. We train our communities on where to go for information, and that's exactly what they're going to do when they're going to look for some facts or some figures or really important announcements, especially breaking news. They're going to go directly to the platform that you have trained them to go to. So if it's Facebook, make sure your content is readily available there on Facebook, and maybe it's X and maybe it's Instagram. So whatever it is, your platform of choice or your platforms of choice are, make sure that you've got the consistent posting so that parents know that it's up to date, because nothing is more irritating than telling people to go to your Facebook page and you haven't posted anything for 5 or 6 weeks. They're going to start to believe that this account isn't being managed well, and it's going to start to erode trust. So make sure that continuity is prime on your list for making sure that you're getting things done there. So let's talk about actually building your content calendar. There's a couple of steps I want to walk you through. The first thing we're going to do is identify goals and objectives. So let me tell you the steps first, and then we'll go back and dive deep into those. And then once you've identified your goals and objectives, you're going to do your audience segmentation. And that's really important because we need to be able to know who we want to talk to so that we can make sure our messages are getting the right to the right folks. And then content categories. And then we're going to talk about timeline and frequency. So let's take a step back and think about identifying goals and objectives. So the number one thing you need to do is make sure you are adhering to your strategic plan. If your district or your campus has a strategic plan or a campus improvement plan that's driving all of your work, make sure that your messages are aligned to those guiding documents. That's really important because you want to be able to be accountable to your leadership team, your executive council, or to your board of trustees or your board of education. So you're going to want to show direct alignment. You want to make sure that those pillars that are outlined for your district are being addressed in all of your content. So I oftentimes like to use my strategic plan and then color code my content so that I know that I'm hitting each objective or each pillar in the strategic plan. So color coding can be a really great way of doing that. And if you don't want to color code, find some other system that works for you, maybe a lettering system or a numbering system, so that you can make sure that you are touching all of the bases. And then once you've got your objectives and you've broken down those goals and you've set them, and those goals are measurable, they've got a time date on them, and you're feeling really strong about them, then you want to dive into the next layer, which is audience segmentation. And that's really difficult to do if you don't know who you're trying to connect with and how you want to connect with them. So the first thing you need to do is identify, are they internal or are they external? And if they're external, who are they? Are they community members? Are they influencers? Are they parents? And then for internally, are they staff at a campus? Are they secondary staff? Are they auxiliary staff? Are they primary staff? You can really dive deep and start to segment out these groups and then name those lists. So depending on the type of software that you're using, some of our districts are using Constant Contact. Some of them are using their student data management system. Some of them are using Google. Regardless of what you're using, make sure you segment your audiences whenever you can and tag them so that you know who got what message. Because if it's an internal group that you want to connect with, oftentimes it's more appropriate to give them some more background to drive them to your intranet site where you might have additional resources. But if it's an external group, maybe you want to give them the high level information and then maybe refer them to an item that was on a board agenda, and you can just immediately connect them to your YouTube channel or somewhere on your website where you host your board meetings. So knowing how to segment people is going to be really important. That's not to say there isn't overlap, because absolutely there's overlap, and we know that that happens. So make sure that you acknowledge, hey, if you're a community member, you might be getting this in this place. If you're an employee, you might be getting it here. So don't be afraid to acknowledge that there might be some cross-referencing, because I think it can go, it could really benefit the conversations. And then, of course, your content categories. Most people want to go with the basics. Students, maybe it's athletics, fine arts, academics, budgeting, whatever those categories are for you, name them. Again, this is when a color coding system might come in handy. It's one that I particularly like to do because I like to see my calendar all across the board. I want to see all the different colors, and it helps me quickly identify where I have gaps. So if I spent too much time on budget in this particular week, I might want to add in some more academic success. Likewise, if I'm seeing too much fine arts, I know that I need to touch on some athletics. I even do this with regions. So if your district is large enough that you've got regions segmented out, make sure you're color coding those so that you can see what it is you're doing. Same thing with events and success stories. You want to make sure not only you're touching on student success, but staff success as well, or any of your community partners that you work with. Make sure you are connecting and celebrating with them. And time and frequency. This is going to be really important. Posting, if you've got a posting tool, absolutely utilize it. But track it and make sure you know when to hit pause. The last thing you want to do is have some great celebratory information out there minutes after there's been some sort of crisis or something that you've had to address that's really serious. You don't want to seem insensitive, especially if you've had a student death or a bus accident, or maybe there's something happening in the region. Maybe it's not happening in your district, but it's happening in your community. Or even if it's large enough, a national event or national catastrophe. So make sure you know how to silence and when to silence those automatic postings if you're using them. And then, of course, know when the best time it is to communicate with your particular segmented audience. So we know that moms of elementary school students are usually not checking their social media or their emails until later in the evening, after bedtime, after they've read their books, after they've gotten everything cleaned up from dinner. And likewise, we know that early morning is the best time to connect with that group of people. So do a little bit of research. Research is important. And if you're not quite sure and you don't have that data readily available, ask. Make sure you put little polls out there whenever you can. And this is probably a really great time for me to acknowledge our podcast sponsor, K-12 Insight, because they've got some great tools that help you figure out that information. One of the tools that I used when I was working in a school district is Let's Talk. It's a really great way to get instant feedback, to streamline your communications. The forms that they have available are fantastic, and they turn that feedback into measurable action. And so a great example of that is by putting a poll out to ask folks when it is that they like to consume information and what in which way that they like to get it. So if you get an opportunity, make sure you talk to a K-12 Insight salesperson. They'll be happy to connect with you. Let them know Veronica sent you, and you can learn more about them on your their website, k12insight.com/SOPHER. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. But if you get a chance, make sure you connect with them. They've got some great tools. So let's get back into optimizing content calendars. So you've identified who your target audience is, the time and frequency, what you're going to say, that it's balanced. And now we want to maximize the impact. So here's a couple of strategies for boosting that engagement. Visual storytelling is absolutely number one. We know that people love multimedia. They love video. They love images. People's faces are they resonate really well with your audience. So make sure when you get an opportunity, you are using video and photos. You don't just want to put copy out there. There are times when it's appropriate just for it to be copy, but whenever you can, you want to personalize it with visuals. You want people to connect. And then making sure that there's some interactive content. I already talked about polls and surveys. Quizzes are great. And just letting people know that you value them by inviting them into the district. Invite them into the conversation. And again, that's why tools like Let's Talk are really great. And then measuring your analytics. I know a lot of folks struggle with that. I know it's not always our favorite thing to do, but being able to track your performance is going to be important. Knowing who's getting it, if they're opening it, how long they're staying on it, and then what they're doing with it. Because at the end of the day, our educational system is based on data-driven decisions. And so this should be true for your communication strategy as well. Make sure you are tapping into as many analytics and metrics as you have available to you so that you can help make more informed decisions. And then, of course, optimizing your content is going to be important. Looking at those analytics, experimenting with formats, seeing what works. A-B testing is a fantastic way of doing it. I like to put A-B testing out in the field. If you're not familiar with that, it's putting together a newsletter with a particular photo or image and then using it with half of your group and then using the other half giving them a different photo, maybe of a different age group or some different headlines, and then comparing the open rates and see which one was more appealing. Now, that isn't always going to give you all the information, but it's a great way to see what people are attracted to instantly and how effective they are. So whenever you get a chance, optimize your content by figuring out what it is they like. And then, of course, promoting events and initiatives with your partners is another great way to improve community engagement. I love to partner with local cities, local counties, faith-based partners, have them share your content so that your target audience is getting it from multiple ways. An old trick that I still like to use whenever possible is partnering with the city on not only the city newsletters, but any information that the city puts out, sometimes even your water bills. Yes, there are still communities out there that mail their water bills. And oftentimes there's some blank space that they will donate to nonprofits and partners. And so if your school district or your campus can tap into that space, I absolutely recommend you use it. It's a great way to partner. So leveraging your content calendar to enhance your communication is going to be really important. Having a comprehensive communication plan is step one. Knowing that it's aligned is going to be important. Being able to measure those metrics and putting it all together is going to be a really great way for you to start to be more consistent and really show up for your community throughout the year. So with that, let's make sure that we are all sharing our resources together. I would love to see any of the content calendars you're using. So if you'd like to put a link down in the comments, our other viewers and listeners would love to be able to see that. So thank you so very much for tuning in. And as always, drop me some comments. If you are listening on the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe. We don't want you to miss any episodes of School Leader Soundbites. And make sure that you tell us where you're listening in from or watching from. So with that, I'm going to wrap up this episode. And until next time, keep communicating with purpose.